You're listening to Free City Radio. This is edition 333, and I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. This show is part of a series of conversations with cultural workers in Mexico City called Transbordar in Transit, and it's connected to a zine publication that I launched during the Suoni Peri Popolo Festival in Montreal in June 2026. On this edition, I'm going to be sharing a conversation with Jose Ortega of the Project 316 Centro. This is a really interesting cultural space that opened up in a part of downtown Mexico City that really is outside of the waves of gentrification that have affected Mexico City in recent years. And it's in a more popular neighborhood. And it has been a really important space for contemporary experimental music in Mexico City. Jose speaks about the project, but also some of the ideas in the community around it and some of the challenges they've had to navigate in Mexico City, being an autonomous cultural center for concerts and really a network of contemporary musicians working in Mexico City today. It's really an interesting and insightful conversation with Jose, and I'll share it here on this week's edition of Free City Radio. So maybe just to start, Jose, if you could introduce yourself. You've been involved in independent cultural spaces a lot in Mexico City, and 316 Centro is one of them, but it's part of a whole ecosystem. So maybe you could just start with a brief introduction and just sort of a picture of some of the grassroots efforts that you've been involved in to create space for independent music in Mexico City.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. My name is Jose Cortez. I'm from Mexico City. I've been involved within like the music and the arts within this country, within this city. I'm also like a composer and, well, what we call like a cultural manager, I don't know the term in English, gestor cultural in Spanish. And yeah, basically like, well, we, it's not only me, but it's like just like a community effort that we've been developing since the last almost 10 years, like, that it has light upon like creating like a healthy ecosystem for different kind of expressions to take place within the city, because there are many, this is like one of the biggest cities in the world, and like of course there's a lot of demand and a lot of offer around art. And well, what has happened also lately these years is that there's a lot of people that don't even know that they are into that kind, to some kind of music, into some kind of genres, into some kind of communities. They don't even, were not, some people, it's not even aware that there's all these kind of things taking place in their own cities. Because there's a lack of spaces, like everything has been like, I don't know, the last decades in the 2000s, for example. It was like already co-opted by, I don't know, like government institutions, that everything had to be like institutional or either like hyper commercial stuff. So like that creates some sort of alienation sense of the cultural life in this city. So I don't know, like a lot of people has been making so many efforts. So we have like the opportunity like on this place on the periphery of the downtown that has been like almost forgotten by authorities, forgotten by society itself, like people live there in some kind of abandonment. That's where we could like find like the safe space for making all this flourish and all that, and has been like at some extent was really organic, like people got attracted into it, all the proposals that we didn't even know they existed, like got attracted into it, and they all nourished the place. We just like got the opportunity to make this space, and I don't know, like the social inertia by itself aligned into that.
Just for people who are a little bit unaware, you talked about the physical space that you've been involved in the last years, 316 Centro, but also you talked about the center of Mexico City. So just for people who are hearing this, just describe a little bit more the sort of location.
Yeah, This is like, well, it's a downtown. It's like the core, like the core life of the Mexico City life happens there. But still, there are many, like, within that downtown, there are many zones, you know, like the touristic zone, like the commercial zone. And there's this part called the Barrio de la Merced neighborhood, that is where one of the oldest markets of Mexico is located. This is a market that existed since like the Aztec Empire days, the prehispanic times. It was like a neural point. It was just like around commerce and all that. And then it became like kind of abandoned. Well, that market is still there. Their life, it still happens there, but the people that live around there has been kind of abandoned, and now like it was been a zone since many decades have been co-opted by prostitution, drug traffic, and also many migrants, like inner migrants, like people from the far away places like the Oaxaca, Chiapas, like the mountain zones, indigenous people come to live in Mexico City looking for opportunities. And that's the only place, because it's like a blind spot of the downtown. It's on the, how you call it, like the east part of the downtown. Because it's like a blind spot, it's where they can live there. And also, like, our space is like, it's a building of like five floors, and some of them are populated by these kind of migrants. And now with these new influx, these new dynamics of Latin America, now it's being populated by Venezuelan communities, Haitians, Cubans. Has been even more multicultural. But yeah, it's like it's a mixture. Like if you go to a bar into that zone, you can listen to like different languages, like 10 different languages in the same place, and they all belong to the same country, you know, like, and so that's how it's that zone. And it's like, as I mentioned, it's a blind spot. So no, even authorities could be aware of like, oh, something's happening there. There's like a live concert place or whatever things. In the early beginnings, they didn't even care about like that neighborhood.
And it's really interesting to just think about the fact you mentioned multiple languages. Of course, you're talking about, you know, Haitian Creole, Portuguese, but also many indigenous languages in Mexico. And other countries in the region. Thanks for sharing this sort of context about the space that you've carved out. Maybe just a little bit more about the challenges you're facing now, because I know that in Mexico City right now, there's a huge struggle around gentrification and, you know, communities affording the center of the city. And this has been also impacting cultural spaces like yours in 2026 now.
Well, yeah, actually, like, since the coronavirus, well, the gentrification has been arrived since many decades, like, maybe these famous neighborhoods like Roma, Condesa, that used to be like a hobo neighborhood, and now it's like really fancy. But in this case of La Merced neighborhood, that is a place that we thought like it was never going to happen. And it's still like a slow process, but like just to give you like a wide, quick picture, like it's been like some like 2 years ago they put like a Carl's Jr. restaurant in front of our venue, and even before there was something impossible to happen. But it was these small steps like around gentrification, but now it accelerated. But here in Mexico, it has like a little spice, a different spice that is compared with what has happened, like, I don't know, in Montreal or in Berlin or these kind of big cities, that it's like merely like, I don't know how to call it, like entrepreneurs, like immobiliary entrepreneurs, like doing their stuff, trying to raise prices to make like even more badass buildings or whatever. Here is like, we are surrounded by these three entities that is that are right now ruling mostly the downtown. One is like the government. The government that is kind of harassing you. Like, at some extent, we are like recognized as an organization that is involved into arts and all that, and that's what justify our activities at some extent. But they still looking like how to get some more bribes, how to get more money, how to harass you at some extent. This is like the government. The other stuff is like with the mafia, like they call Unión Tepito, like this organized crime that controls many stuff around the city life. And these are the ones that they seek, they want to see how is your business working on, if you can sell drugs in there. And you know, the government doesn't care because the government and the mafia is almost kind of the same thing. Like if they can sell drugs there, or you have to pay some monthly fee and all that. And the third actor that is like the commercial one that right now is co-opting like the downtown are the Chinese commerce. Like right now the downtown is getting a huge radical transformation that they're turning like, I don't know if you know this website called Alibaba, they're turning the whole downtown in a huge Alibaba, like all these huge warehouses, and they're like pushing all the people that are living there, like the owners of the buildings and all that, they're pushing them to sell to these people. They're using like many, all the means they have available to push people to sell it. So yeah, we have been receiving a little bit of that pressure, but fortunately, at some extent, because the nature of what we do, for example, we were not interest for the mafias. Like they got in and they thought they were going to find a club where that was already packed and I don't know, like a huge business happening there. And they just saw some like weirdos, harsh noisers, like, so like, what the fuck is this? Okay, just take care, dude. Well, like the Chinese stuff is like, yeah, we're not selling, so get out of here. Like, well, we are not the owners of the buildings, but the actual owners are like, no, you stay calm with that. But right now is the World Cup coming up. So right now, like, I don't know, the city, at some extent, they know that some kind of nightlife, some cultural life needs to happen. And not everything can happen within a fancy place or within this framework of, like, I don't know, making a huge club or whatever. So they allowed many, many parties, many underground parties, many concerts to happen. But now they put their aim into these kind of independent, like, micro-nano organizers. Like, they want to clean the city. They want to, like, okay, if something cultural happened, it must happen within the scope of a huge corporation that already, like, I don't know, like, this kind of allies of Live Nation and all that, that they're, like, mounting clubs, concert halls and all that. Now the World Cup in this city needs to look clean, needs to look neat. Now, we like, all the cultural life needs to happen within that scope. So that's right now, like, the fight that we are having.
Well, I see what you're saying also around financialization, because cities get this whole process, are facing this process of financialization where buildings and housing is sort of folded into these property investments that are then sort of bet on through stock traders and so on. And with Live Nation and Spotify and what's happening with music, the same thing is happening. You know, artists, song rights, and then also, of course, the touring process and concerts are also being folded into this sort of financialization of music that's driven by the same investment capital. This is like a confluence of so many forces that is like on the ground right now in Mexico City in this very violent way, as gentrification has really sped up in recent years. And it's really meaningful to hear from you, Jose, a little bit about the sort of dynamics in this particular neighborhood where you sort of carved out this space.
And you know, so just maybe just to end, if you could talk a little bit about that, about the importance of people, like, because there's a lot of attention right now on Mexico City and a lot of people like thinking about that space. And so, you know, on a sort of absurdist level, one of the views could just be like, oh, this is sort of like a landscape of the forgotten place that, you know, American artists are sort of coming to, or even Canadian artists, without understanding these local dynamics. So maybe just, you know, for the we're going to be launching this zine in the context of the Swoney Paripopolo Festival in June. So maybe just talking about why it's important for artists and activists to have that more nuanced understanding of, you know, experiences of artists or cultural workers like you in sustaining spaces in Mexico City and the challenges faced.
Well, yeah, totally. First, like, I believe, like, the first phrase that comes into my mind, like, when thinking about why we need all this, is like, firstly, like, to sustain culture, like, culture in general as a human social entity that lives around us. We need counterculture. We need like this other side of the coin. Even like the talking about like this, like, music that is only seen as an investment and all that, like, and as an stock, as an asset. It's like, even that music needs like all the weirdos that have been working and breaking their asses for many years, or in order to get ideas, you know. Like, I don't know, like, for example, I don't know, this album of Rosalía Motomami, something like that, was called, like, it was produced by Arca and all that, and all that sounds is like just like the reflection of what has happened like a decade ago of all these weird artists that have been doing like all this weird shit, all this weird stuff, and needed these kind of spaces and these kind of places for nurturing their own art at some extent. And on the other hand, like, also, we are, I believe, like, really firmly, we are living like really weird times where we no longer, like, this is widely discussed, like, we no longer what's real or what's not real with all this AI stuff, that suddenly you're listening to some Spotify and then you listen, I don't know, to some post-rock or ambient playlist, and then sometimes like, oh, this is, sounds really clean, what's this artist, and then like, who's that, and you investigate and it doesn't even exist. And it's like, you know, if you want things to get real, now is the time, really. Like, it's more urgent than anywhere in any other time in this century of getting close, like, face to face to what you are listening to, you know, to make sure you're listening to a human. You need to now You need to see that human. You need to get more involved with the guy next door, that what he is doing. And we need to recontextualize like this other language, that is music, that is art, that is a human language. It's another way of communicating and getting closer to ourselves, and perhaps step off of that logic of something needs to get bigger. Oh, he's a cool artist and now he's going to play in a theater and now on a stadium and blah. No, it's like, it's a social practice. We need to stimulate that, and also we need to be conscious about how all that, those spaces, that management, all that works, is working, and it's a cycle. Even like, I don't know, the beer that you're buying to the venue is contributing to all that dynamic that is really hard to sustain and really hard to maintain. Like, people also need to like, also like, differentiate among like what's like nation and what's an independent stuff, you know. Okay, yeah, if you want to sneak your alcohol into Coachella, go ahead, like, good for you. No, you're not giving your money to those guys, but literally, if you're in a small venue, like, you're not taking advantage of anything. You're just hurting yourself if you enjoy music and you're trying to be like, oh, you're not giving to these independent organizers my money and all that. Well, dude, you're just damaging like the music you say you love.
Well, I think, you know, what you mentioned about being in person, like being face to face, being in a community context where we see each other, and the way that that nurtures creativity, you know, 316 Centro was, and, you know, remains like a reference point for so many independent creators, sound artists, noise, people making noise music, poets, in the city. So it's really important to hear your perspective and context around the challenges that you have faced as a cultural worker trying to create that space right now in Mexico City, with all the intersecting points of violence around financial capital and gentrification. Thank you, Jose, for talking today.
Yeah, no, thank you, Stefan. It's been really a pleasure to talk to you, always.
That was a conversation with Jose Artiga of 316 Centro, which has been a really important cultural space in downtown Mexico City. And it's really a pleasure to speak with Jose as part of this series within Free City Radio, featuring voices of cultural workers in Mexico City called Transbordar. This series has been produced in collaboration with the Suoni Peripopolo Festival and launched as a zine in 2026 in June. Free City Radio broadcasts on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CJLO 1690 AM, also in Montreal, on Thursdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and Fridays at 1:30 p.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 AM, on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 PM, on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Tuesdays at 4 PM, on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick on Tuesdays at 10 AM. You can also find us as a podcast. Just search Free City Radio and find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. I'm Stefan Christoff. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back with you next week.
You're listening to